Oh yeah, I'm Barry Moran, and you're listening to Mayo Are Back.
Howie lads, Con Mort here, and Mayo Are Back.
Look it guys, you're listening to one of the best podcasts I've ever heard. It's Mayo Are Back.
Angelina Nugent speaking, just wanted to say,
Mayo Are Back.
Hello, this is Kim Jong-un, and welcome to the Mayo Are Back podcast.
How do? Pope Francis here, Mayo Are Back.
Mayo Are fucking back.
Let them say what they like about Mayo people, but Mayo supporters are the best supporters in the world.
How do, folks? You're very welcome to the Mayo Are Back podcast. We are back for another season of podcasting. This is our first episode of 2024. We'd like to sincerely apologize to all of the inbreds out there for the great delay in kicking off proceedings this year. We've just been extremely busy. Just to set the scene for everyone this morning, it's a podcast with a difference, you could say. I am currently sitting looking out into a flooded forest on the Mayo-Roscommon border. It's about minus 2 degrees. It's bleating. It's no one. The gale force wind blowing me to bits. My recording podcast partner, however, is in much more tropical surrounds this morning. EJ, you're very welcome to the Mayo Are Back podcast. Would you like to fill in the inbreds at home as to your current whereabouts and your situation?
Well, hello, Fat Larry. First and foremost, I suppose I'd like to say how do to you, my old friend and comrade. How do to Mayo supporters and Mayo Are Back supporters in particular at large, dotted right across the globe or even further afield. You did sum it up quite eloquently there right from the very get-go this evening. I'm nowhere next or near Mayo whatsoever at the moment. I'm kind of, I don't know how to describe it. I'm nearly on the far side of the equation altogether, the equator even. But it's put me into a precarious position now where I haven't actually been able to attend or watch any of the games that we're going to be talking about over the course of today's show. I did in fact go to one Mayo game in the Bacon ABCDFG League against London, where we were absolutely spanked by London. Mayo's very, very strong selection on that day really let the county down, I feel, to such an extent that I wouldn't be the only half-bake now that has just only 100% emigrated from Mayo on the back of that result and got as far away from the place as humanely possible. Sorry, you know, as things have gone on and borders definitely seems to have improved, I'm thinking that maybe me being around was one of those bad omens for the county and for the team, and that removing myself from the occasion has allowed Mayo to really get their jizz back and get their spunk back and show their balls to both Galway and Dublin in two tremendous performances that I'm sure we're going to be touching on over the course of today's broadcast.
Absolutely, TJ, and it's fair to say there is a lot that we need to touch on in this podcast. Obviously, we haven't been together in a little while, but Mayo have been going just so well over the last couple of weeks. We're two rounds into the Tri-Alliance National Football League. I, like yourself, TJ, haven't managed to attend any Mayo games so far this year. So I wouldn't be feeling too bad about yourself. You know, the fact that you haven't been able to watch any of the games. I live in very close proximity to the stadiums in which these games are taking place, and I still haven't bothered my arse to go to them. But we're very lucky here in Mayo where you know, all of our games are being televised, which is absolutely fabulous and well-deserved, I think, because we are one of the premier footballing counties in Ireland, despite the fact that we still haven't managed to win an All-Ireland in some 75-odd years. But all the signs, TJ, would suggest here back at base that this year could be a year where things might be different. It might not be different, but they've made a good start at it. We started off the campaign with a swashbuckling win in monsoon-like conditions, you could call them, down in Salt Hill, where we beat the tribesmen. And then we were down at the Bacon Factory Stadium in Castlebar last Saturday night, where Mayo a royal rimming to Wedgie Farrell's AIG Blue Dubs. Our first win over Dublin since 2012. Did you manage to see any coverage of that game, TJ? I know Mayo GA on Instagram and Twitter were putting out some great viral propaganda posts of all the Mayo scores. What did you make of that?
Well, there was one great video that I watched back now, and it was better than watching any of the scores. I think it was a pre-match sort of a hype video. Eminem's 8 Mile was the song of choice in the background, and it was just shown sort of a hearty mixture of inbreds, not wells, and half-bakes from right around the county. I myself at the time was sitting in a bar in Sri Lanka, and I was talking to a young man about the situation that we have and this kind of transitioning team that we have and the amount of gender fluidity that we've seen at this very early stage of the season. And he said to me that, TJ, he said, that sounds like a very wet looking team you have going there in your own county, Mayo. And I have to agree with him. I have to agree with him. We're young, we're fit, we're fabulous. We're not afraid to use a fist first approach. And I would like to say a very big well done to Stephen Cathrott Cohen, who put the fist right into the arse of Dublin in the game last weekend. I thought it really laid down the marker for the season that we're going to be driving that fist up into the air every given chance we get. And even if we go for a point, you never quite rightly know where that ball is going to end up. It could end up with the sack bulging, just like it did last Saturday night.
Absolutely, TJ. You don't know where your balls are going to find themselves on any given day, but it was fair to say that Stephen Cohen was in the right place, the right time last Saturday evening. And I mean, look at it, if this guy starts busting the onion bag for Mayo in 2024, you know, that's a very good old man for Mayo supporters going forward. There's been lots of little subplots, of course, TJ. We've got some new kids on the block, you could say. We've also got some young old children who are back on the block for their third or fourth little trip around that particular neighborhood. One of those, as such, of course, is a very, very big favorite of ours here at the Mayo We're Back podcast. Young, but not so young, Fergal Boland is back for his fourth re-return to the Mayo team, and he has been absolutely stunning, TJ. He's delivered what I believe to be two man-of-the-match performances, unofficial man-of-the-match performances for me. He's been absolutely fantastic. And TJ, I think the only thing that's, I suppose, hiding the wetness of Mayo supporters at the minute is the fact that the weather has been so bad. But if this guy keeps producing this on warm days in summer, I mean, you know, it's going to be all there for everyone to see.
The way you're pontificating there, Fat Larry, I thought that you were going to be alluding to Daniel Ferrero Rocher Irby there for a second from Castlebar Minstrels Club. But no, it was in fact Fergus Boland. And what a selection of performances that the band has had so far. And one only needs to go back and listen to this podcast in the early, early days, back in its infancy, when myself and yourself were wet behind the rears. We used to eulogise Fergus Boland on almost every weekend, call for more game time for him. Kevin McSatte, when he came in, he had the idea to eject him from the panel altogether. Leave him at home. Make him want it a bit more. Get him hungry again. And you only need to see his performances with the Turin horny Blue Devils over the last couple of seasons. Know exactly what this guy has in between the hips and below the waist. And we could see that in both the Galway and the Dublin match. As you said, two man of the match performances in our eyes. And what an absolute superstar of a guy he is. And if he's not going to end up playing for St. Kilda or Geelong Cat, I'll be very happy to have him in and around the Mayo circumsphere for the next couple of seasons.
Yeah, you touched on it very eloquently there, TJ, also when you referred to the Mayo hurlers. I mean, in Mayo, we've always been fans of big balls here in this county, and I think it's about time that, you know, players like that, you know, choose the football over the hurling, because we're long enough in Mayo losing some of our best footballers to the hurling team, and I think that hurling team needs to be kind of reined in a small bit now. They're nearly taken over from this Mayo football team. They're, you know, such as the level of power and success that they're wielding over County Mayo. So it's great to see Fergal Boland back in the mix. There's been some other guys, TJ, that are getting new wet around the ears and every other which way. You know, I think for me, I think Quasimodo Kearney, who's been moved to midfield, has been really a revelation, I think, in the first couple of rounds. You know, we don't have fucking Matthew Ruan at the minute. He seems to be taking a little extended winter break for himself. Dermot O'Connor yet to come back into the fray. But it's fair to say that some of these young guys are really frothing at their tip now. Would you be a little bit concerned, though, TJ, that maybe we're peaking too early? Such was the case last year.
Last year, no, I can't remember far as last year. There's no point in living in the past, Fat Larry. If you were to live in the past like that, you'd probably be dwelling on the fact that we've lost 11 All-Ireland finals in a row, a statistical anomaly in any other sport that you can think of. So I don't like to dwell in the past. I like to live very much in the moment and think ahead for your days that might come. So the idea now that we've won two league games, I think we should really crush it on now and drive it home and try and win every single league game. Put the league title as a huge prerogative, a huge priority numero uno for Kevin McShay and Stephen Rockford and their charges. I think if we get that under our belt, we can stutter our way through Connacht then in a real dip of form, dampen the expectations in the kind of mid-season before that late-season rush and that charge right to the very top of the tree. And I think when it comes down to it at the end of the season, Dublin, they're not going to have the want or the will or the financial backing to do two in a row. Kerry are an absolute waste of time in football terms, in my eyes, and they always have been. And the Northern team, absolute disgrace. Absolute disgrace the way some of them carry themselves. So I think that really the path is opening up for Mayo now. I think if Galway and Roscommon can just kind of go off as they tend to do early in the season,
yeah,
it should be Mayo's to win this year in All-Ireland final terms. So I would be, if I were a Mayo half-bake, I'd be booking that particular weekend off work, that month in fact. I don't know, is it June, July, August or September beyond this year, but maybe book the 4 months off just on the off chance of Mayo to win it. Book the City West Hotel or the next nearest equivalent to that, and just get your bunting down from the attic early in the season and spread it and spread yourself in pure Mayo euphoria. That would be my advice from an outside perspective looking in.
What an inspirational and well put together monologue that was, TJ, and I sincerely hope that we have got a couple more of those in you this evening. But I think I must commend you for your attitude and living in the moment. You know, as Stephen Cohen's calves in his shed would say, that consumed calf nuts are long soon forgotten, and it's all about the next bucket of calf nuts that are coming in. And that's, I think, the attitude that we need to have as a county going forward. What's done is done in the past. Yes, we've had one or two sad days. We've had a couple of finals that might have gone slightly askew for us, it's fair to say. But those are done now. They're gone. They're in the past. And all those players are still playing. But if you look at it with a glass half full mentality, there's no reason to suggest that this year can't be different to previous years. And all of the evidence so far would lead us to believe that we are going to do it this year, and I'm very, very convinced about that. Now, moving it forward, TJ, our Mayo are Back WhatsApp group was lighting up there a couple of weeks ago when the internet came out and provided us with a piece of kit that was like it was created by the Mayo GA gods themselves, where essentially Mayo supporters were given the very unique inbred opportunity to select their own dream team of losers who have lost finals since 1989. You were essentially asked to pick the best Mayo team over the last 20 years, and it was kind of like one of those weird fantasies that you might have where, you know, kind of one of those Mayo fever dreams where you know, Peter Burke kicks the ball out high into the middle of the field and the ball is caught by Oisin Mullen, who rampages through and sets up Noel Kennelly for a goal into a Hill 16 packed with blue Dublin supporters on All-Ireland final day. Would there be any chance, TJ, or would you have given that particular selection any little bit of thought over the last couple of weeks?
Just before I get into the meat and two veg of that particular occasion, Fatari, do you mind if I just pause at this brief moment and just commend you for doing such a stunning job in anchor terms and hosting of today's podcast? I feel like you're really coming into a vein of form there, you've got rich vein that you're showing me, full of form, and you're riding on the chest of a wave at the moment now, and I think it's absolutely tremendous to see. And I think I would be echoing the sentiments of all the listeners out there by saying what an absolutely fabulous job you're doing. In terms of this little bit of Mayo selection, yes, I did get involved in that, all right. And as you said, it was almost like having sort of a lucid fever dream where your 15 favourite Mayo players of the last 40 years all show up around your bed. just as you're nodding off to sleep at night, and in one bedpost is Trevor Mortimer, and in the other side of the equation there's Jeanine Allen, and Heather Gardner is tucking you in, and Pat Holmes is reading you a bedtime story. That was the way I was kind of rounding off the image in my head, and it was a beautiful couple of days I spent tinkering and teasing and edging myself with that little team. But I understand that you have really got into great depth, and instead of, you know, sticking to the formalities of picking what one would describe as the best Mayo team, I think you went into a whole different sort of level and showed that little bit of tactical nuance that you tend to do that separates us from the Commonwealth Garden Mayo football podcast of this world. Would you like to take us through your own selection, Matt Larry? Tell us a little bit about it.
I would. Well, just to give you a little bit of background information on this, TJ, I suppose my team, you know, I suppose you could look at guys over the last 20 years like your Killian O'Connors and your Aidan O'Shea's, your Kieran McDonald's, your Liam McHale's, you know, the big stars here in Mayo that always get the headlines, and rightfully so in most instances. You know, they're the big performers and the guys, you know, who show up on the big day and have led us to many a great victory. But there's some men out there in Mayo, TJ, who I think have been sterling servants to Mayo football over the last 20 odd years, who don't always get the credit. So I just like to take you through my team. This is a team, I suppose, it's more based on chemistry and how these guys play together. I think their styles really do complement each other really well. So I'll take you through it. So between the mine and the onion bag, I've gone for John Madden. John Madden from the NFL, of course. My full back line consists of, you know, this line, TJ, if this went out against any Jim Gavin Dublin team, I wouldn't see this line being penetrated whatsoever. I went with Jimmy Brown in the corner, wearing the number 2 jersey. Number 3, minding the full back position, was Donald Drake, and he'll be ably flanked in the corner by Cross Malina, who I say, Cahill Carolan. So I think that's a very steely, tough line.
Hang on a second, Pat Larry, there's a lot to digest there in that line, just before we move on to the half-baked line, where we talk about, I think John Madden is an obvious choice for the fact that he has commentated on the NFL for so long, and he's made those tremendous games for the PlayStation. They were always very enjoyable. Just to kind of ingest that full back line, Jimmy Brown at one corner, Donald Drake flying high at full back for the first time in quite a few years. Great to see him back in there. I'm not surprised at his inclusion in this occasion in a way. But in the other corner, Cahill Carolan, a man who played his trade and wing forward for Cross Bright and Mayo. I'm very interested to have him in the corner.
Well, TJ, as we said there at the start, we think about the game a little bit differently here. And you know, TJ, from all the teams that the man had each down through the years, that, you know, you need to have an attacking threat coming from your full back line. And I think playing a corner forward like Cahill Carolan in the cornerback position really gives you that ability to penetrate from deep. And I think that is what this Mayo team really needs. You know, with all these great Dublin athletes and, you know, lack of space in the full forward line, I think it's important to attack from all angles. And my half-back line, TJ, they're going to be attacking from all kinds of places. I went with TJ Kilgallen at wing-back. I think he usually played his trade at midfield, but I think, you know, with your kickouts, you know, it'd be nice to have a target there out near the subs bench. At fullback, I went with John Finn, a great man from the 1989 All-Ireland final. And I went with 1916 Irish Republican hero Micheál Collins, or Michael Collins, at wing back. And I think it would be a brave wing forward who would try and get up in that man's particular grill. At midfield then, I think it was quite an obvious and easy choice, really, when you look at the options. I went with Dennis Kearney and Fergal Kelly in midfield for that bit of steely toughness and athleticism.
Wow, Fat Larry, you really are painting a beautiful picture of a team that, for one thing, wouldn't be seen to be lying down while Ireland finds taking it. I think back to some of the performances, some of the Olympic Mayo performances in seasons gone by. The team that you're putting down on paper would absolutely knock the shite out of anyone. I could imagine them all lining up for chip in Bale after a night out, like just causing an unmerciful ruckus. Would you like to tell us about forward then? I'd be very interested to see where this one now is going to go, because it's been an attacking team thus far.
It is, and interestingly, TJ, I've actually gone for a few defenders in my half forward line just to keep the balance. I'd just be a little bit worried with all these swashbuckling defenders flying up the field that we might leave ourselves with our pants down around our ankles and exposed at the in the back. So I went with, now I think this line isn't going to be fucked with, TJ. I really feel this. I think this one is going to hit very, very hard and would strike fear in any half back line up or down the country. At wing forward, I went with John Casey, who was a great man to kick a free back in the day. And then I went with the tag team duo of Pat Holmes and Noel Kennelly at centre forward and at left wing forward. Two guys who played the majority of their careers in the full back and half back line, but I really feel like these guys would give defenders a really hard time.
If I could jump in there, Flattery, that for me now is undoubtedly your strongest line. You're talking about an awful lot of confidence, composure, charisma, and yeah, pairing Pat Holmes and Noel Kennelly side by side on the field, two warriors, two men who found themselves in the trenches many of the time.
And not just in that playing careers, TJ.
They found themselves in the ditch.
They did. They did many a time. It wasn't just in the All-Ireland final, TJ, that they found themselves in bother. Of course, we cast our minds back. And for new listeners to this podcast, you would know that we have a particular fondness for historical events such as the Ballyhane clubhouse oust of 2015. And you'll notice, TJ, here that there weren't many men on my particular Mayo Dream 15 who put their names in the yes ballot box that day in Ballyhane. A lot of those men have missed out on my selection on this occasion, but three more men in my full forward line, TJ, that would strike fear into God himself. I've gone for, in the top of the right, I went with Brian Maloney from Kilmaine, an absolute warrior of a man in every sense of the word. At full forward, I went for Ricky Feeney for his blinding pace and goal threat. And in the corner then, I went with Jinkin' Jimmy Burke, who would absolutely torment cornerbacks the country over. And I think that would be, if that was my Mayo fever dream, TJ, that is the collection of men that would gather around my bedpost and soon be back to sleep.
Wow. Simply gorgeous, Flattery. You'll have to excuse me, Flattery, and to the listeners out there, I think I'm getting some sort of an allergy over here that just had me kind of in an uncontrolled fit of coughing there. I was barely able to echo my own sentiments at the end of that last statement. But yeah, what a gorgeous scene. And I suppose tip of the cap to you, Matt Larry, for once again providing us with such an excellent insight and foresight, I suppose you could call it. A team that would not be best on their day by any way, shape, or form.
Well, TJ, though, yeah, I look at the
game. Like, had any finishing notes to that, Matt Larry?
Well, as I was just thinking to myself, TJ, when I was putting that team together, you know, it'd be very hard to pick a team of players who have played in most of these finals. So I just thought it would be more fitting to pick a team of men who got the raw end of the stick at certain occasions, or who oftentimes found themselves watching All-Ireland finals from the steps of the Vogan stand. So why not go for something a little bit different and maybe try something that maybe other people haven't done before? So you never know. Hopefully Stephen Rochford and Kevin McStay might take my opinions on board and field a team not too unsimilar to that one in the summer, help us end this long famine. Who's TJ?
Just on that, Flattery, sorry to rudely and crudely interject at this stage. I do wonder what the policy is from the Mayo Mangership ticket this year in terms of the Mayo Are Back podcast and its relationship with the Intercounty football team. As we know, over the course of the 7 or 8 seasons that we've been on the airwaves for, it's been kind of a mixed grill of relationships that we've had with the different Mayo managers. Horan, of course, always had a blanket ban on players from listed podcasts. Whereas when Stephen Rochford took the job for the first time, he was encouraging it so much that they used to play it on the bus on the way up to Gay. I wonder will Kevin McShay have a similar kind of philosophy with it this year? because we have to take into account that, Larry, a lot of these younger players, they've been listening to Mayo back when they were 13, 14, 15 years of age, and they've found themselves in the middle of the Mayo panel now in the centre of excellence there, and they still love to listen to some of the little tidbits and some of the little nuggets that you'll be coming out with, some of the little golden nuggets like you gave us just there. So that's my question to you. I suppose, would the management ship ticket this year be encouraging or discouraging of the Mayo Back podcast?
Well, you would have to imagine, TJ, that it will. We know that it's had a very, very good effects on Mayo players down through the years. I mean, if you take back to the, I suppose, to the infancy of this podcast, we've been recording, you know, podcasts since 2016. And in that time, Mayo have competed in no fewer than 4 All-Ireland finals. Now, if you look at it, some people might look at it and say, well, you know, they've lost every single last one of those finals. So maybe what we're saying is getting into the players' heads at some level. But when you think back to previous finals we were in where we were absolutely beaten out the gate by double-digit scores, you know, Mayo have competed very well in the time that we've been podcasting. I think we've been providing, you know, rich nourishment for these Mayo players. You know, maybe a different perspective on the world, maybe a more relaxed view on things. And maybe to put the whole Mayo GAA circus in a little bit of a context for people out there who might see things a little bit differently, you could say. You know, we think back to years where Mayo players were listening to the Mayo Are Back podcast in the changing room at halftime of All-Ireland finals and on the bus into games. And you could clearly see on those days it really revved the players up and motivated them to play some of their best performances. So, you know, Kevin McStay is a man who speaks his mind and who isn't afraid to allow the players to do so as well. And Stephen Rochford has always been a very big fan of us here. So I would like to think, TJ, that yes, that the Mayo Are Back podcast will be getting played in the team huddle before a game.
And I'd like to agree with you there, Flat Larry, because as you said it, Kevin McStay is a wily operator. He never shies away from the rough and tumble and the little tugging that goes on around the middle. He's well used to that from his own intercounty career. And Stephen Rochford, the exact same. So I think that this podcast could play an absolutely huge role. And I must at this venture pause and I commend this podcast for having the nuts call it and continuously call it year in, year out, season after season. For, you know, sometimes you don't even get any bit of tight for it all on, you get his abuse for it. So I'd like to, I suppose, be the first and only people to praise ourselves at this particular show.
Absolutely, TJ. And I mean, a lot of Mayo players have started their careers and retired in the time that myself and yourself have been recording podcasts. So I would like on this wet and windy morning to commend your longevity and to, you know, to really praise you for all of the hard work and dedication that you've committed to this cause over the last couple of years. And it's fair to say as we podcast here across many millions of miles between us that this podcast has got a lot of jizz in its sails yet, and there's a lot more podcasting to be done. So I would like to just at this particular moment in the podcast just to reassure inbreds out there of all dispositions of all levels of severity that, you know, we're with you, we're holding your hand. We're going to guide you through this. I know there was a couple of inbreds out there who were having mild panic attacks and slight Mayo mental breakdowns over the last couple of weeks. But we would like to assure you that we are back ourselves. Mayo are back. The team are back and the Mayo Are Back podcast are back. And we will be with you every step of the way along this 2024 journey.
Fat Larry is right, folks. He's really hit the nail on its particular head there this occasion. He's a man who's not afraid to shoot from the dick, as you'll hear over the course of this season. But we do find ourselves unable to reach out and touch ourselves like we have been doing for many of the podcasts you would have heard in the past. But we're committing to a monthly search for podcasts, a little check-in to see how this Mayo team are going. We boycotted the month of January after that absolutely disgraceful performance in the FGC league. But we're back now in February, very, very happy with ourselves altogether. We'll be back for our next one at the start of March. And please God, Mayo will still be sitting top of the Shrahali and Snarashini picture maybe by that stage. But I will tell you one little anecdote about where I am, Larry, because I'm in a diving centre in the Philippines at the moment, and I've cleared out the classroom to make a little room for this wonderful little tete-a-tete that we're having here. Two of the most cultured Mayo minds sitting down in the chin wag about all things Mayo GA. But I'll tell you one thing for certain, folks. Today I went out diving for the first time in my life, and I went doing a bit of scuba. I went down to 18 meters below sea level, and I thought I was low. But to be honest, looking back now, I was nowhere that evening that we lost to London in the FDB league. And many a time walking out of Croke Park, I've been lower than that, and I've had my tail held low between my legs, which is not the way that a Mayo fan ever wants to be. A Mayo fan wants to be waltzing around Jones's Road with his head held high up between his arse. And I think by the end of April or May, and certainly by the end of July, that's where the Mayo fans will be back again this year. I'm coming out and calling it very early this season. I think this is the one. I think this is the year. I think we're going to do it.
TJ, you are truly an inspiration to Mayo followers the world over. And, you know, you've hit the nail on the head there. There is creatures and scenes in the deepest, darkest depths of the oceans of this world that wouldn't compare to the hardship and the disappointment that we have had to go through as Mayo GA supporters. But here we are, millions of miles spread across the globe, like many more inbreds out there who are still manifesting themselves across the miles. They can't do it in person, or they can't physically manifest each other. But myself and yourself, TJ, have been pontificating here for years and years about the importance of keeping the faith and manifesting yourself through good times and bad. And even though we are not physically in the same podcast recording studio as we have often found ourselves, we are still shooting the same levels of shit that we always have. And we would like to encourage Mayo supporters, regardless of your personal circumstance, to keep that going now. But the team really need us. And we know that when we get these players' heads wildly inflated and blow loads of shit about them early in the season, it has great long-lasting effects right into the summer. So I would encourage people to get on Twitter, get on Instagram, whatever platform you can find yourselves on, absolutely roar every kind of bit of encouragement, abuse, whatever you can do, shout it loud, because the players need it and it is proven to work. And we would just like to again thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedules to come on here and check in with myself and TJ, and to, I think, just begin this manifestual process for 2024.
Correct. Absolutely correct that, Larry. And, you know, you kind of can ease yourself into it in such a way. And for all the Mayo fans out there, if you're looking to get that little bit of, get the little bit of the mind refocused on what's the matter at hand here, go back. We have an body of work now that we can be proud of, a selection of podcasts that will last the test of time. So go back to season one, listen to the shite that we were chatting back then, and channel that Mayo inbred that's inside of you, because we're going to need them. Come the hot summer months, we're going to need every single inbred, every half big, and every not very man at all, to be lining up the stands wherever Mayo go and cheering on those boys in green. And if they're not cheering on the boys in red and green, they might be putting their time to other important uses, like abusing the referee, abusing the opposition, giving out about young kids running on the pitch at halftime, all the important stuff. And of course, reminiscing about the olden days. This is all what it means to be a Mayo fan, to me anyway.
That's it, folks. I think we have addressed all the major topics. We have analysed the performances of this Mayo team so far in great detail. We've gone deep this time. You know, we've really looked at it in every way possible. It's fair to say that this Mayo team are making tremendous progress, and the Mayo are back supporters are boiling themselves up now and getting warmed up nicely for what promises to be an absolutely swashbuckling year for the Mayo football team. As TJ referred to there, we will be checking in with you guys on a monthly basis, and who knows if TJ here manages to get himself into a country that has a solid internet connection, we might keep it going further. I'm going to leave the final word with TJ, folks. I'd like to thank you very sincerely for taking the time out to join us, and we will be talking to you very, very soon.
All I can say, Fat Larry, to you is thank you very much for having me on. Thank you for taking time out of your very, very busy schedule, and wonderful afternoon to invite me for the Sneaky Chin Mag. I, for one, have tremendously enjoyed it. I hope that you've enjoyed it. I hope listeners out there have enjoyed it. I've put a little bit of spunk into their sails now for the season ahead and get us really right, ready and raring to go from the get-go this season. And, you know, this could be the year. Why not? Oh, we have to think that it is. So get in touch with us and send us all of your deluded questions and comments. We love those little interactions we have with the fans. And we do it all for you, the loyal, loyal in-ring listenership of May We're Back. We're going to get an icicle jingle or something to play us out today, Fat Larry. Do you have any idea what it might be? Is there any sort of song or anything you'd like to send the Mayo Inbreds off listening in their ears this week?
Well, I think at this particular point of the year, TJ, when, you know, things are warming up nicely and Mayo fans are getting absolutely deluded out there, I think it is only fitting that we send the listeners on their way listening to the dulcet tones of our favourite Mayo GAA football commentator, Mr. Martin Carney, is going to take us out this evening, folks. Thank you very much, Mayo do-do-do, and we'll be chatting to you all very, very soon.
Good score, Paddy! Good play, yeah, by ya! Fair play to ya! Paddy Durkin!
Who's going to win it? Who's going to be the man?
Stevens!
Oh, this is heartbreaking. It's a free from Kerry right in the middle of the pitch. Who's been fouled? Brian Sheehan. Who's the person who'll take it? Brian Sheehan. Who's the best long-range kicker on the Kerry team? Brian Sheehan. He has stolen a yard or two. Watch him. He's stealing yards. He needs to get back. Get back!
That's the call. Cues Kerry Hoorism, as they once said.
Oh, look at
Brian Sheehan.
Put those in capital letters.
Kerry to win it with Brian Sheehan. Sheehan, he
oh,
goes.
Oh,
yes,
go wide, keep going wide, go wide, go wide.
It's all over.
Full time.
It's all over. We're going to have to do it all over again next Saturday evening. One more time.
Get back. Get back. Get back. Back to where you once belong. He's stealing yards. He needs to get back. Get back. Get back, Joe. That game had everything that you want to see except a Mayo win.